Welcome back to the Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation. I'm here with Big Country, James Fry. So thanks for being here, James.
Yep, no problem.
Just got your certified red done.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting. And we're talking about faith and family. That's what our company is about, the values of Nussbaum. And you're all about faith and family. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
That's right.
And we were talking about this before. You got the faith and family tattoo.
Yeah.
Right? On one side.
Yeah.
You have.
On this side. And then my family first on this side.
Yeah. Family first on that side. That's sweet. So you got a great story about adoption. Yeah. And about your twin brother. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that and how you put family first and how that played out in your life, faith and family. So thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, did you come a long ways to make it here?
I come from Iowa, so I was in Iowa last night, and you know, I was 5 hours out today, and got here, and I've been here since around 10 o'clock.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. You've been with Nussbaum for about...
Over a year.
Over a year. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we did your certified red. Do you want to show off your bling?
Sure.
The camera? Mr. Fry? That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's sweet. And you're also a road captain now, right?
Yeah. I'll go to my summits this week. Okay. So that'll be exciting.
Yeah. Did you always want to be a truck driver growing up?
Yeah, ever since I was a little kid, I wanted to drive a truck. I wanted purpose.
Mm.
A purpose for me. I wanted to drive a big truck. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the big tires or, sure. You know, back when I was 10 years old. But... doing the arm pump, you know,
yeah.
And a truck flies by and he's honking the horn and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's kind of inspiring.
Yeah, it was, you know, and still to this day, you get that, you know, kids, they run on your window, they're doing the arm pump.
How often do you do that?
All the time.
All the time?
They just drive past me, there's little kids look out the back window and they're just looking with all smiles, do it, you know. I love it.
That's awesome.
It brings a smile to me. I got to hit the air brakes when they do it, you know, just so I recognize them.
Yeah. So why do they call you Big Country?
They call me Big Country. That nickname started when I was a machine operator, and I love to catfish, and I'm a bigger guy, and it was fitting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It rolls off the tongue. Big Country. Awesome. So for people to get to know you better, we're going to do this segment of rapid fire questions. Mm-hmm. All right. So we'll just go one after another real quick.
Okay.
So you ready for this?
I think so.
Okay. Let's do it. All right. James, mountains or beach?
Mountains.
Early bird or night owl?
Early bird.
Ice cream or cake?
Cake.
Oh, Apple or Android?
Android.
If you could pick a superpower, what would it be?
Never get old.
Stay in or go out?
Stay in.
What's something you're grateful for today?
To be a part of something bigger with Nussbaum and to be blessed to be around everybody.
What is the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
If you're going to do something, commit to it and do it 110%.
I like that. Okay, well, you passed the test of the rapid-fire
cool.
questions.
Right on.
That was awesome. And I think we learned a little bit about you. 110%, is that something that you've always, did you learn that from someone else, or what instilled you to put your 110% in everything?
That was more or less how I was raised.
Sure.
Even my best friend, when I was growing up, you know, his dad was the same way, and it was always, you know, 110%. If you can do it right the first time. Mm. And
well, I like when I was talking to you and you said, "I'm a master of my craft."
Yeah.
I want to be a master of my craft.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that's something that we can all take from is. We want to be masters of our craft. Whatever we're doing, do it to the best of your ability.
Good is not good enough, in my eyes,
mm-hmm.
to great to be great, to have a great purpose and to be great with what you're doing is the top.
Right. Yeah, and that's inspiring. It's like you want to be around people like that. So, and that's the great segue. You said it's something that you were raised a little bit to feel that way, 110%. So that leads us into our topic at hand, faith and family. Mm-hmm. And if you could share just from the beginning your adoption story and growing up, what was that like with your twin brother and growing up together, if you were always at each other's sides or if you were always fighting? I don't know. So please fill us in and I'll ask some questions here.
Well, I was adopted when we were 2 years old. Me and my brother were both born in Peru, Indiana. If you've not been to Peru, it's a little smaller, but it's gotten bigger over the years. At the Peru General, I think it was a General Hospital was what it was called. So we were born there. My biological mother and my biological father. My biological father was working two jobs. My biological mother was just taking care of us, and choices were made, and my biological father went out with his dad, which I got to meet him too, which would have been my biological grandpa, and I met him too, but they went out drinking and left us boys in the house alone, and the neighbor next door heard us crying, and the neighbor called CPS, and the police department come over there, Child Protective Services come over there, and they took us away and realized we were both running fevers, and we were put into a hospital. This took place before we was even adopted. We was just in the system. We was in a hospital for like 2 to 3 months. My brother wasn't as bad as I was, from what I understand. Mm. So we got out of there. And then we got put with foster parents. The foster parents were great people, I thought. I never had they're both of them are Christians. They went to church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And that's how they taught me and my brother that. And we went to church with them every Sunday when we was there. Mm. So we got to meet their family and all that. So eventually my grandpa was getting sick and he passed away. And then shortly it was grandma that passed away.
So is that what led you to the next home after they passed away, or was that
sometime later? We used to go see them during the summer times, when we got adopted out. My mom and dad, they lived out in the country in Walkerton, and if something were to happen, or we'd see them on the if there was a family tragedy, or if it was summertime, on break or something, we'd go to Kokomo, it'd be called Young America, but
sure.
We'd go out there, and they lived on a farm and had cows and goats, and Grandpa liked his tractors, Al's Chalmers, John Deere. I mean, he had all kinds, and he'd teach me, and I always was driven more towards my grandpa, and I was always more driven to my dad, and my brother was the opposite. He drove towards grandma, and then he drove towards mom, and that's just how it was for him and I.
Mm. So you guys pretty similar or different, your twin? And you're identical twins, right?
Yeah. Back when we was really young, the only way they could tell us apart was they'd have to put toenail polish on one of our toes. And that's the only way they'd know.
Wow.
And we had fun with that growing up in school.
Yeah.
We'd switch classes. And
you would?
Oh, yeah.
Like you'd take a test for the other person?
Yeah.
You serious?
Yeah. We took tests for each other, and I remember I was in the birds and the bees class, and she kept calling me by my brother's name, but I wouldn't answer. And I never answered her when she called my brother's name.
Sure.
Then they realized that the same thing was going on right next door at the other classroom. Whoa. So we did this whole thing where we used to switch in classes, and eventually they put a stop to it, but it was hilarious.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I've heard that in, like, movies and stuff. But it's like, true. You know, go as me.
It's true.
Yeah, no, even if you... What if people don't even know you have a twin, and then you just show
That's
up?
That's really funny.
That'd be really funny.
Yeah.
So what's your brother's name?
Scott.
Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So are you sure you're not Scott right now?
Pretty sure.
How would I know?
I don't have long hair.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys were pretty inseparable growing up.
We were when we were younger. You couldn't find... If you didn't find my brother... Then you didn't find me. We was always just always there for each other and always seen him. And as I've gotten older, he moved. He was in the Portland area, and then he moved so to Niles, Michigan. And
okay.
So he's doing his thing, and I'm doing mine. So I don't get to chat with him as much as I'd like to.
Yeah.
Mm. He's real big into his faith, and he was a pastor. At his church.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. And he ended up moving to Niles, and that's where he's been since.
Hmm. What would you want people to know about twins? Like, is it true that you can feel each other's pain? Or, like, what would you want people to know that they may not know about twins?
I'd say it's more about feeling. Mm-hmm. It's a sense, right? You can sense that something is wrong. Aside from feeling each other's pain, I don't know about that, but I can definitely... There's been conversations with me and my brother where something had happened to me, and he's like, I thought something was happening.
Hmm.
You know, and it was just that...
You just could feel it.
Yeah. It's just that sense.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, and you spend so much time growing up, you think similar in a lot of ways, and you know what the other person, how they would react to something.
Oh, yeah.
So...
Yeah.
For better or for worse.
I always knew how to get under his skin.
Yeah.
And it normally didn't take much. Boy, when he got it, he had enough.
Yeah.
He let you know it.
Oh, boy.
So that was just a great thing about me and him.
Yeah.
And I was big into football, and he was the manager, and I'd do my sports, baseball or football, basketball. I've done majority of the sports in school.
Sure. So walk me through some of the adoption process. So you're with these foster parents, and that's through your, like, grade school years, and or how long was that?
That was we weren't even in school yet.
Hmm.
I was 2 years old
okay.
when we were adopted out, put into the system, and the courts, the judge told. We either have to move north or west, or either it was north because he didn't want us going south. So it was north, and it was either east or west. So we went north,
mm-hmm.
and we went into Walkerton, Indiana, and good parents. I had a good childhood. My brother and I both did.
Hmm.
We had pets, you know, had dogs and had cats, and it was. You couldn't ask to, you know, you come home out of school and your mom and your dad's there, and to have that family and bond, and I wanted that, you know, I wanted the love that most kids got to feel.
Right. That's something is identity, like, too, like searching for some of that identity and that, like, support. Yeah.
Yeah. As I've gotten older, things have changed. But, I mean, my love for my family, my parents, and my brother, that just doesn't change.
Mm. That's awesome. And something with your story that stuck out to me.
Sure.
That and it's very difficult in working through that. Mm-hmm. was that you were disowned before, like, mm-hmm. re-adoption? This was after adoption. Mm-hmm. Okay. Could you talk me through some of that?
My brother got the idea that we could we should go out and see, meet our biological father.
Uh-huh.
I was working for Waste Management at the time, just helping out in South Bend. And he just got this idea, well, I'm going to go do it. And I said, well, I don't think it's a good idea. He said he was going anyways. So I couldn't just leave him. I didn't know what he was getting into. But, you know, I didn't want him doing it by himself, so I had to go, so I went. So I regret it. I guess I didn't really have to meet him. But
there's that curiosity.
Curiosity, yeah. I always was curious, you know, to see what my biological father was like. But I heard all these stories, right? And it was stories between the foster parents, and it was stories with they knew of my family knew of certain things about my biological family, and I heard these stories, and you know, you hoped it wasn't all true, right? So we went over there, and we got out, and he was standing, lived in this little tiny house. Didn't even look like a house. It looked more like a shack or something, you know, like a garage or something. It was tiny. And he'd come out. I didn't understand that either because he was so short. My brother, both of me, are taller, and I didn't get any resemblance. But he'd come, he had bald head and shorter, and the first thing he said to us was, we've been eating corn or corn fed, or yeah, his terms, we were corn fed, which that was language for we eat pretty well and we're bigger. We were bigger and stocky and stuff like that. So, but from what everything I witnessed being over there and my brother witnessed being over there is everything that we was told was true. So, I'd seen him once, and I said something, and he got right in my face, and at that moment I broke down. I broke down mentally. I started crying and screaming like my brother's never seen like that. I've never been into that point. And I guess I was angry. I was angry because I was put in this situation where I met him because I was curious, but everything that I was told about him was 100% true. And maybe part of me didn't want it to be 100% true. So.
Yeah.
So we went back, and I know he had just passed away about a year ago. A year or two. It's probably been 2 years, and he passed away. And the last thing I talked with him when I was on the road sometimes, and him and his daughters were just—they didn't have faith. They didn't have what I felt, right? And the last thing he said to me was, I said, you know, you can call me. I says, you owe me that much. And he says, no. He says, I don't owe you nothing.
Whoa.
And I laughed because I was like in shock, like what I just heard. And then I hung up the phone. And the very next day he died. So that had an effect on me.
Wow. I mean, it's impossible for that not to affect someone, and that's such a big part of who we are and you're holding on to.
Yeah.
Like maybe he wasn't as terrible as people were making him out to be. Like that was some of the hope and expectation you had going into meeting him, right? But I think something that the show that is in your life, that you've made a lot of your life.
Yeah.
And that God is a redeemer. And I think that the fact that you're generally a positive and a fun-loving guy, like just coming here, and that's huge. Like you could look at your situation and be like, this is the pits. So like I, you know, I'm done with this, and you could be mad at the world, mm-hmm. but you can choose not to go down mm-hmm. that way. So I think that says a lot about who you are and how you've changed your path a little bit.
The first time I've told my story was at my church. And they thought it would be a great testimony. Mm-hmm. So I shared my story in a sense of the lowest part of my life, of what I was doing, making bad decisions. I was an alcoholic for a long time. And I got baptized at the Church of Christ. That was mm-hmm. my church that I go to. I got baptized, and I told that same story about I didn't go to church to find God. God found me at my worst possible time, mm-hmm. like at my lowest time. Because mm-hmm. he loves that. You know, he loves... I was a big sinner, and he loved it, though.
Yeah.
And he found me before I could find him. It right. just happened like that.
It wasn't your power of, oh, I'll clean up my act, and then God will love me, but...
No, but it happened when I got baptized. And it's just to have that relationship with God that I talk to some people, and they don't have that relationship, and mm-hmm. I want to help. Mm. It's like, I can help you with that, mm. you know? And yeah. I got my altar call right there when I got baptized, and God's been holding on to me ever since. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's a great story. And yeah, like really just seeing how working through that, God was working yep. on you that whole time. And you mentioned, so that first time after you wanted to go see your biological parents
yeah.
is when the disowning happened. Is that right? Like right after that, or
yeah,
am I getting
so,
this right?
When we came back, my brother and I came back, we got the sense they didn't want us there anymore. Mm. So my brother and I just drove to South Bend. We stayed in our car. We slept right there in the car. I remember we tried to find a shelter, and they was all full.
So you were homeless at this time?
Yeah.
And you were 18, 17. How old were you?
20.
About 20?
20-ish.
Yeah.
21. It was probably 21. That was when everything started to just... My lowest point in my life mm-hmm. all happened at once. Mm. So, they say that people who drink, it's more of an escape. Mm-hmm. I lived that life. And at some point in your life, when you're at your lowest, you will find out who you really are. Mm. So that's how I found out. Mm.
And that lowest point is when you found God.
The lowest point was when I had everybody, I felt like I had just everything stacked against me. Didn't matter what decision I made, I was always coming out short. I went through 2 failed marriages. I was going through that, and that was the lowest point, really. Was the end of that second marriage, and just to relive that. And we got done with that, and I went through this darkness. I was just, if I wasn't working, I was home. I'd close the curtains, nobody could see in. I was just in this little cave. And it was, I moved to Portland, you know, got with my wife now, and mm-hmm. I talked with the next door neighbor, and he's like, why don't you come to church? So I came to church. And that was when I found him. That was that point right there was my lowest point, and that was how I found my faith. Mm. So
how did you maintain your faith? Like, why, what motivated you to go to church? Like, your neighbor asked you, what made you
interested? It was having that relationship. Mm-hmm. It was having that relationship and, you know, praying. And it just seemed every time I prayed about my CDLs. I prayed about my wife. I've mm-hmm. prayed about anything that I felt that needed prayed about. And sometimes maybe you're not asking, maybe you're just giving thanks.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I like to do. And here recently, you know, my wife and I'd been listening to, I got her to listen to some Christian music, and mm-hmm. she's actually, she prayed with me a couple different times. And I was super excited for that. So I'm hoping, you know, I pray God continues to work on her. And
yeah.
And, you know, they don't like us to push it on them. And I'd want to come off that way, mm-hmm. but.
Yeah. So a couple things. So a lot of the times in those low moments, life does not make sense. Mm-hmm. It's hard to make sense of what's going on. So what did you tell yourself as you're going through these difficult times? Like, what was the inner mental dialogue that you were having, and how did you get through that?
Just always telling myself it'll get better. Talking to God and just praying, asking if I had any purpose, just give me a sign. And the sign's always been there for me. I just needed to open my eyes. So that's where it all started. And, you know, I continue to have that mentality now. I always, strong faith, strong will, just always have that conversation. And it starts with me to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. And I do. And I've changed. I've come a long way. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm glad with what I love what I do. I'm with a great company. And
so when did you get your CDL and how did that go? Did it come pretty natural driving a truck? You just hopped on and you're born to drive?
Not really. I remember one time I went to this CDL school. This is just down the road from the house out in the country at my mom and dad's. And I still lived at home at the time. And I went there and we was learning how to drive the truck. I got out and the guy looked at me and he said, I think you're better off just maybe driving a straight truck. And that hit different.
That's tough.
Because I knew I could do it.
Right, right, right.
You know, just it felt right. And I was comfortable doing it. Not comfortable to a sense of, you know, you just let off of some things, right? But mm-hmm. It just felt comfortable to me to be in charge of this, you know, machine, and you're just driving it, and that's your purpose, is to deliver freight, mm-hmm. right? So, and I just love it. Dealing with the customers and shippers and receivers, you know, always, I get drivers to walk up to me, but I heard a news bomb. Yeah. You know, that they see the truck.
Yeah.
And I've had several people walk up to me and ask about news bomb. I always tell them, I give them a recruiting card. I do whatever I can to bring them in.
Sure. So, CJ loves you for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I always try. I don't want to let CJ down. I told CJ one time on the phone, I was like, I'm still trying to do my part. So if I could help bring in more drivers, I will. If there's anything I can do.
It's a great way to help. Yeah, no, it's...
It's, I mean, it's not just that. It's, I'm going to be doing my Road Captain Summit here this week, and and thankful for to have the opportunity, and I've always had that will to help.
Yeah.
I didn't have that when I got my CDLs. You know, it was kind of like, okay, these are two brand new trucks. You got to put it in the middle and don't hit nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, great advice. So I sat there for 5 hours trying to put that truck in between two brand new trucks.
5 hours?
Yeah, 5 hours. Wow. Yeah, there's no help. You got to figure it out before it gets dark. Wow. This is what I was told.
And you got it.
And I got it. It was really hard, but I got it. At that time, now I could put it in like nothing.
Oh, sure.
But,
but that was a huge win, probably, to feel that. It's like, I did it.
That was like a little tiny stepping stone of what I needed to accomplish. I'm like, okay, now I got it in. Now let's go make magic.
Let's go make magic.
So, yeah.
And how'd you end up at Nussbaum?
I was working for the state, and I told my wife, I said, I want to go back trucking again. I'd been off for about a year. I really wanted to get back at it. And wife was looking up, and she put in best trucking companies in 2024. That's what she put in, word for word. First one that popped up, Nussbaum. There was other trucking companies but that I had conversations with, but Nussbaum is different. So a lot of these trucking companies out here don't, they don't live up to the hype, right?
Sure.
Nussbaum does. So, you know, they're faith and family, and that's, faith and family always just hit me different through growing up and finding myself, you know, what I'm meant to do, you know. I ask God to show me what I'm meant to do, give me a sign, and here I am. So, and I can't just not help. And I'm excited to have people that I can help here in house, right? So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. One Google search later, and there you are.
Yeah.
Certified Red, Terminal Exchange, Road Captain, do it all together. Yeah.
It's been a ride, and it's only just over a year, so I'm super excited to see what the next 40 years is going to look like.
Yeah, yeah.
So I told CJ, I'm going to be here till I retire. You know, I'm 41 now. I'm going to be 42 in June, and I said, I'm going to be here till I retire.
Yeah.
So maybe 20 years, not 40, but, you know, but...
sure.
I really mean that. I don't know how many people can... You know, I'm sure people say, I'm here till I retire, and then 6 months later you see him walking out the door. It's just like, I don't think you really wanted to be here that bad. Nussbaum was different, though. All the companies I've worked for, I could really call Nussbaum family. So it's every single one of these people in here, it's just, I consider my family. So I'm thankful.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love your story.
Yeah, great. Yeah,
it's so cool. And one of our mottos here is purpose-driven. And I wanted to ask that to you. What does it mean to be purpose-driven? What's your take on that?
It's to give it 110% every single day. good is not good enough. So that's what purpose-driven means to me. Our purpose out here as truck drivers is to successfully deliver freight in a safe manner. There's more than just that. That's our purpose, but it's so much more than that.
Yeah, it's like the people you interact with along the way. It's not just the destination, but like you said, you run into these people that ask about Nussbaum, and you tell them, you let them know. And
I tell them, I'm like, do you really want to be at your company? Because you can come to Nussbaum. So, you know.
Do you want to enjoy your job?
Yeah, you know, so
yeah.
I love Nussbaum. I love where I'm at. I love being taken in, and you guys treat me so well out here. And my DM, I got the best DM I've ever had in my whole trucking career. And I got him a little. He likes to fish, so I got him a little glass thing he could put on his desk, and it's got a little like largemouth bass on it.
Oh wow!
So I got that for him last Christmas.
Yeah.
So every year I'm going to be giving my DM just a little something.
Oh wow!
To let him know, you know, hey.
Yeah.
I appreciate what you're doing.
Yep. So, and your DM is
Brian Johnson. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's awesome.
That's special. I think something about who you are, and as we look to wrap up this episode, I think that's one of the takeaways from your life is you show up to things and you go that extra mile. Like, you're not just going to just show up, but you're going to provide that extra thing that makes people feel special. You're going to do the job extra well so that everything goes smoothly, safely, on time, and stuff like that, giving your DM a gift. No one's telling you to do that. Mm-hmm. That's something you just woke up one day and it's like, I'm going to buy this, you know, fish type of decoration and put on his desk. So that's really special.
Well, they all do really good work here. And Brian, especially Brian and CJ and Dale and Lance, those are who I coordinate with on an everyday basis. Mm-hmm. Lance and Brian and... not so much Dale. I will here with the Cert Red, but Dale's been really good. So,
he helped you down Cabbage Mountain, right?
Yeah. Well, I come down Cabbage Mountain, and he gave me a little buzz, and you know, was talking to him about cabbage, and it was crazy, but
sure,
it was the scariest, probably one of the scariest mountains I've ever been on.
Why is Cabbage Mountain so scary?
It's dangerous. It's more dangerous than probably any other mountain I've been on.
Yeah.
It's steeper than any of them, the rest of them that's put together. I mean, it's really steep.
Yeah.
And a lot of accidents happen on Cabbage, but it's, you know, 30, 25, 20.
Mm-hmm.
20, 25. Dale told me one time, he says, I don't care if you're going 20, 25 miles down the mountain. Mm. He said, just get down it safely.
Mm.
I remember that from a year ago.
Mm.
So
it's good advice.
I'll go down any mountain, but I'll do it. These other guys are flying. I'll set my cruise and I'll go down it nice and slow.
Yep.
Because it ain't worth losing your life over.
Mm-mm. No.
So you care about what you do, and I truly care about where I work, and I care about the people I'm around. Yeah. It makes it even better.
Yeah. So if someone asked you about faith and family or being a twin, is there anything else you'd like to share about those things that people may not know about?
My brother has long hair.
Yeah.
I have short, but, you know, we're different. As much as we love each other, we're different. You know, he likes University of Michigan. I like my Fighting Irish and Notre Dame. But, you know, I like to pick on him sometimes.
He likes blue.
He likes blue. I like red.
You like red.
We're different.
Yeah.
So
it's a good thing you like Nussbaum because
that is.
We're red, not blue.
Right.
Yeah.
So he wanted to get his CDLs one time, but... his heart wasn't in it, and I knew it. I told him not to.
Yeah, you got to be in it.
You really got to be 110% in it because it's a mental game, right? If you're going to be out for a month, longer than that, you really have to have that mindset.
Yep.
And my wife and I, we've been out for over a month now.
Yeah.
So, but you know, it's... I don't complain about it. I run hard. I push myself further. I push that needle further. And I've been running 3,000 mile weeks.
Wow.
But my wife, she made a comment to me. She's like, you push yourself so hard. I could talk about all the things I need to work on, and it's hard for me to talk about things I'm good at, but I push myself that hard because that's my purpose here.
Mm.
You know, you truly love what you're doing, then push yourself. I like to set small goals, you know, for me and every single day. Maybe I ran 500 that day. Tomorrow, let's run 520.
Wow.
Or the most I've ran was 633 miles. Wow. I've not hit that in a long time. But,
that's, you know, okay.
Everything has to go well.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
But it's always a trip. So.
Yeah. Well, I love that. Going after your goals and setting big goals too. Yeah. You know, it gives you a reason when you get out of bed in the morning.
Cert Red was one of my goals when I got hired in, and I wanted to be a road captain, and I'm doing that. So I set these goals for myself, and it motivates me to be a better version of myself.
What advice would you give to someone that's having a hard time setting goals and not feeling motivated?
Know your faith. If you're having issues, set little goals for yourself. If you can just achieve one little goal, the others will line up.
Yeah, kind of smaller things lead to the bigger things.
Yeah, call me and I'll walk you through it, you know, kind of thing. You call me and I'll walk you through it. You know, okay. I've been down that road, so that's why I'm always wanting to help people. That's the only thing I can tell people is, you know, it's okay. In order to succeed, you got to fail.
Mm-hmm. You got to fail.
I failed enough, so
yeah,
I'm finally on the right turn of things. Yeah. So,
anything else you'd like to share for people listening? Any shout outs you'd like to mention? We've had a couple.
Brian, my DM, CJ, my recruiter, people in the shop, Lance, my planner, my wife, Amanda Fry. She's been my staple. She's been my support rock, and she's been everything to me. Mm-hmm. And I really have to show her appreciation, and I want her to know that, you know, thank you for everything she's done. Mm-hmm. And so I'm blessed to have her in my life. Mm-hmm. and blessed to have my son in my life. And I guess that's about it.
Yeah. You mentioned your son too. Anything you'd like to add on about him?
Just watching him grow over the years, and he still cracks me up, and he likes his video games, and he's smarter with cell phones than I am. But
he got you on TikTok.
Yeah, he got me on TikTok.
You're a motivational speaker on TikTok now.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, it's fun just sit back watching him grow. You know, he's going to be 18 this year. It's like, wow. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing how his events in his life unfold and how he handles them, and just know I'm always going to be there for him.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So in summary of this episode, I'm going to think about the extra mile, mm-hmm. how you go the extra mile. You set goals, you go after it. You don't set, you know, you set easy goals, but you also set big goals to go after. So that's something that is huge in your life, just like faith and family, how you're all about that faith and family, how that's a foundation for your life. So thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being on the podcast. Thank you to Daniel for running video, audio. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. And until next time, stay purpose-driven and own it every moment.
Hi, everyone. This is CJ from Recruiting at Nussbaum, and I'd love to answer any questions you have about driving with us. Give us a call at 309-268-1199 or visit NussbaumJobs.com. Talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation. If you're enjoying our content, please leave us a review. Your reviews help us spread the word about these important topics and invite more people into the conversation. You can rate and review us on your podcast app or visit us online at TerminalExchange.org. New episodes arrive every other Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Nussbaum on your favorite social media platforms and be the first to know when new episodes are released. Thanks for listening. Until next time, own every moment and stay purpose-driven.